Like nobody comes. And now after 95, you begin to understand that. But when they're 45 and nobody comes, it's a little bit different. And so I want us to understand that there's this relational poverty that we're missing. But we often say, you know, in our lives, something's missing. Something's wrong. Something's not here. But let me just tell you, it's not something as much as it is someone. We're missing those folks in our lives that just make everything come together. And that's what brings us to our point that you might be one friend away from changing the course of your destiny. Now, destiny is not a word we use a lot in the Baptist church, right? And if you didn't know this was a Baptist church, surprise. Anyway, but we don't, that word has been messed with and moved around and everybody's defined it their way, but the truth is that what I'm talking about is the course of your life of being who God created you to be. Will you ever fulfill it? You might be one person away from truly experiencing the purpose that you're here for. And that puts a lot of weight on it. Puts a lot of weight on who we allow to be within our center and who we allow to be close to each of us. We see it over and over again in Scripture. In Acts chapter 9, we see what happens to the Apostle Paul. It's a very interesting turn where there's that one person who has the ability to change everything. And Acts chapter 9, verse 26 says this. It says, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe that he had truly become a believer. Now, what does that mean? What's the problem? And wait a minute, you said Paul, and that says Saul. And so let me just explain it to you. Saul was the greatest persecutor of Christians probably ever. Right, that was his main thing. He hated Christians, and he woke up in the morning to go out and destroy them. He went to bed thinking about how and dreaming about how he could do it again tomorrow. I mean, that was who Saul was. His main objective was to just destroy Christianity and anything that had something to do with it. And so then the Apostle Paul is the Christ changed version of that, where Saul has this experience on the road to Damascus. And he meets Jesus face to face, and he's changed forever. Much like when you and I experience it, it's just we don't see the bright light that blinds us, thank goodness, you know, but it should be a bright light that wakes us up and gets our attention. But it's when we meet him and he changes us forever. And this is Saul who became Paul. He now has shown up. He's had this experience, and he shows up with all the other guys who've been following Jesus, the one he's been going after all this time, and now he's changed, and they don't believe it, right? You ever had somebody say, oh, I heard that so-and-so got saved, and you're like, I'll believe that when I see it, you know? Well, that's the way it was with Saul here, because he's had this experience. He shows up, nobody wants to have anything to do with him. They ain't inviting him to their life group, I can tell you that. Nothing to do with it. But in verse 27, there's a change. Listen to this. Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So Saul stayed with the apostles and went around all around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. God used one person. Use Barnabas to now change the whole course of Paul's destiny. Had Barnabas not stepped up and been a friend and said, wait a minute, I got to tell you about this guy. Here's who he is. Then he may have never had the opportunity to do so many things that he did. I mean, if you're reading your New Testament in your Bible at all, Paul probably wrote what you've been reading. He wrote most of it. About two-thirds. And so had Barnabas not stepped up, where does that leave us? Where does it leave all the people who were able to hear him preach and were changed for eternity by it? You see, that one person can change your life. That one friendship that you can begin can make all the difference in the world. And sometimes we think, okay, well, if that's true, then I need to go find that person. And here's where we start looking. We start looking for somebody that looks just like us, right? If we're 16, we try to find somebody else that's 16 or 17 that can be our friend that's going, you know, same spot. You know, if we're married and 50, we want to find somebody else that's married and 50 so that we can have that relationship. If we're, you know, whatever, if we're divorced, we try to find somebody who's divorced so we can, we just, it brings us together. But I'm telling you that maybe that friend doesn't look like you look right now. Maybe they are completely different. Maybe they're going through something else in their life, but maybe they've been through what you've gone through. Don't just look for friends who are just like you. I believe that sometimes we need to look very much older than us. I can tell you that some of my best friends are much older than me. Now, I don't want to pick on him. He's just a little bit older. But Pastor Eddie is one of my best friends. He knows a lot of things about me that a lot of people don't know. He's one of the people that I could call no matter what, and I know without a doubt. If I said, Pastor Eddie, will you pray? That man will stay up all night praying for me. And we need to be able to have that kind of person. Pastor Mike Hillard is one of my other friends. Mike just turned 70. And he's just, we've just developed this relationship, and it's like he's like hanging out with somebody younger than me sometimes. But he's just a man who's been through a lot of stuff, and we're at different places in life, but God brought us together, and we're able to just have a relationship where we can talk, and I can share, and he's one of my accountability partners. And so it's just, don't always look for somebody that just looks like you. And so today what I want to do is just spend our time talking about the three types of friends that every one of us needs to have. The three types of friends that every person needs in their life. And so as you're thinking about this one person, maybe today you're going to see what that one person should be in your life, and you can begin to look for the friends that you have that maybe they could be that, or maybe there's somebody else that you really need to be praying about that God would bring into your life. And so if you got your outlines, go ahead and let's write some things down together. So the first type of friend that everybody needs is a Samuel. Everybody needs a Samuel, a friend who makes you better. A friend who makes you better. Every single one of us, we need friends that make us better. Let me give you a little context into who Samuel is. King Saul, not the same Saul we were talking about. This is the first king of Israel in the Old Testament. King Saul is king at the time. And Samuel is one of his one of the prophets of the time. And so King Saul is there. He is he's kind of a messed up dude, got a lot of issues, and God is taking his hand off of King Saul. He's taking his hand off of his rule and his kingdom, and now he's just, Saul is there, there's some real issues. And so God then sends the prophet Samuel to go and appoint the next king. And so he sends him to the house of Jesse. And so Samuel gets there to the house of Jesse, believing that one of his sons is to be the king. God's told him that's what's supposed to happen. So he goes to Jesse's house, and he says, here's what I'm here to do, and so I need to see your son. So naturally, the oldest son comes out first. Tall, good-looking, strong, strapping young man, one that everybody wished they were. God says, no, that's not him. So Samuel says, next. So they send in the next oldest son. God says, nope, not him. So the sons come in one at a time, and God's like, nope, nope. And Samuel's like, wait a minute. God, what are you doing? What in the world? You passed up the best one, I thought. I'd have picked that one if it was me. God says, listen, Samuel, you need to understand. You're looking on the outside. I look on the inside. I'm looking for the one who's going to be who I want them to be, to do what I know needs to be done. And so they send for the youngest, the runt, David. He comes in and God says, that's the one. An amazing moment. And so we pick it up here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12. It says, so Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. So as David stood there among his brothers, can you imagine what that was like? Dude came to pick, God sent somebody in, and you thought he was going to pick you, and he picked your little runt brother. But anyway, that's a whole other message. But so Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. And then Samuel returned to Ramah. So what happened was that here's David, who's now been anointed. Samuel's come into his life, and now he has made him better by showing him who God made him to be, by bringing out the quality that God had put in David to be this leader. He made him better. He became something that David needed in his life. He looked at David and said, listen, God can do more through you than you could ever imagine. And we need people in our lives who will come along and say, you know what? God's created you for more. Man, you've got this talent. You need to use it. You've got this ability. You need to use it. There's this need and you can meet it. You need to do it. We need to have people in our lives who encourage us and push us along to be better. Now, who are your friends? Who do we hang out with? You know what? It usually happens by accident, doesn't it? I mean, if we go to the gym, you know, a lot we hang out with the gym people. It's kind of like me. Maybe we're married, and so we hang out with married people. Maybe we got kids and we go to the park, so we hang out with other parents who go to the park. I mean, it just happens that maybe we live in the same neighborhood, we work at the same place, and so we develop these friendships kind of by accident because they're just there. There's no intentionality to it. But let me just ask you, the friends that are around you, that you're hanging out with, that you're spending the most time with, do they make you better? Do they bring out the best in you? Not your best, you know, poker playing. Nothing wrong playing poker, don't get me wrong, but if that's all they bring out in you, then you need somebody else in your life, right? Do they bring out the best in you? Do they always try to get you to do what's best for you and what you know God has for you? Do you have that person in your life? You have someone that makes you better at the things that matter most. Do you have people who, as a husband, do you have friends that make you a better husband? As a wife, as a mother, as a father, as a friend, as a coworker, as whatever it may be, do you have people that make you better at those things? If not, it's time to start looking for some new friends. It's time to open up your eyes and let God bring those people into your life. And as he does, then listen, there's a responsibility then that comes with that to not just receive that. You know, don't let just people just make you better, but there is a responsibility to make others better as well. The Bible says this in Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. See, once you're made better, man, have somebody in your life that you're making better. As people are teaching you and you're learning things and becoming more of who God wants you to be, then look for other places then to do that for the people around you. How do you help people become better? See, you might, do you want to be the friend that somebody needs to move on from? Or do you want to be the friend that truly is making a difference in somebody's life? Do you want to be that person making somebody better? So we need a Samuel. A friend that makes us better. We also need a Jonathan, a friend who helps us find spiritual strength. A friend who helps us find that spiritual strength. See, if you're a follower of Jesus, you need somebody to help you find that strength. You need somebody to help you grow in that relationship with God. Let me Let me fast forward in David's story a little bit. He becomes this great war hero. Man, he's running the show, and he's serving King Saul. Even at this point, he's just making a difference. And so what happens when you're a war hero and you're dark and handsome and got pretty eyes? The ladies start finding out about you. They start checking you out. And so what would happen? David would come back into town, and the ladies, you know, they would be singing, "Oh, Saul's killed his thousands, but David's killed his 10,000s. They were trying to get a date. And so they were lifting old David up, trying to have this relationship with him, you know, to be noticed. And so what happens then is Saul then hears these songs. He hears these and notices how David now is becoming the hero and Saul's not. So he decides, I'll fix that. I'll kill him. I'll just get rid of the problem. I can take care of that. And so here's where we pick up the story that David's friend Jonathan comes along in 1 Samuel 23, verse 15. It says, "One day near Horesh, David received the news that Saul was on the way to Zeph to search for him and kill him. Jonathan went to find David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith." What did he do? He encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God, to trust God in this situation that looked like it was going to be the end of David. That Saul was going to have his way and he was going to kill David, and so David's running. But here's Jonathan, his friend, who comes and just says, "Listen, man, you don't give up. Don't quit. God did this. You got to keep going." He helped him find his spiritual strength. We need those people in our lives. We need people who says, you know, I don't care. You know, I'm not worried about what's going on. I just need you to know that you need to focus on God and keep digging in your relationship with Him. Because here's the thing: I don't care how mature you are, I don't care how, you know, strong you think you may be, how well you think you can overcome temptation. I don't care where you find yourself. You will get down. And you will often find yourself where people have kind of walked away. They've left you because things aren't good. So they don't want to have anything to do with you. You're going to need somebody to come along and say, "No, man, don't quit. I'm here. I'm not leaving. I'm with you. Even in the worst, I'm with you." I think one of the things that I've had to find out in the last year is that I had an arsenal of those friends in my life. You know, there was a point where I kind of shared with you that I felt like, man, I didn't have anybody to turn to. You know, and that was the enemy kind of, he was trying to, you know, throw those words at me and say, "You don't have anybody, you're alone," you know, whatever. And so what I'm so thankful for today is that I have those people that I can trust, that I can go to, and I can share where I'm at and what I'm struggling with and everything else. You know, sometimes, you know, you get kind of tired and everything's going bad. And, you know, some Sundays, some days I just feel like it's tough, you know, kind of preaching to a wall or whatever and just trying to let God do whatever. And when I walk out of here, sometimes I'm being honest, I just feel defeated. But, you know, it's so funny, though, when I feel that, and I get to the door and somebody comes up and grabs my hand and whispers in my ear, "Thank you for sharing that. And thank you that you said that. You were talking to me today." I wasn't. I mean, I guess I was, but I wasn't directly, right? I mean, it was those moments where people, you know, come into your life and they just say, "Listen, man, thank you." You know, I get those text messages and I get those phone calls and I get those emails that just encourage me and say, "Thank you. I walked into my office today and there's this sheet of paper on my desk that says, 'You are a treasure, and I'm so thankful you're my pastor.'" Man, do you know what that did for me? Now, I was 10 feet tall and indestructible from that point on, right? I mean, somebody's going to have to work hard to whoop me today. Because, I agreed with it. I am a treasure. But anyway, but you know, it's just those moments where people come into your life. Yeah, I'm being humble. That's right. Yeah, that's right. I confess it. I'm forgiven. Right. So here's the thing. You got to know that you need people in your life who are just going to do that. And if they're not doing that, if they're not encouraging you to find your faith in God and your strength in God first, they need to slip down the line. Now, I'm not telling you to turn your back on anybody. Don't do that. But I am saying the people that you're going to trust in your life to be encouraging to you and to help you become more of who God wants you to be, you got to let them go up the list. And you need to spend more time with them than you do some of the other folks. Don't take away that I'm telling you to drop your friends. I'm just saying there's some that need to be closer than others. And that's what we're looking at here, is having people who have your best interest at heart. And do you have that? Do you have those people that would do that? Now, I know we all got that buddy that's a Christian, that's got the big cross necklace from the 80s and all that stuff, I'm a Christian and whatever, and you don't really see that willing to be around you and hang out with you and all that, but then when you really get around them, they don't take you where God wants you to go, right? We kind of experienced that before, probably most of us. I'm talking about the people who are really going to pull you in and call you in the morning and say, hey, man, I don't know what happened, but last night at about 2 o'clock, God woke me up and I knew I needed to pray for you. You ever got a phone call like that? If you hadn't got a phone call like that, then you need to find somebody in your life that will do that for you. So I had to text a buddy of mine this morning. And I said, you know what? God brought you to my heart this morning, and I couldn't get you off my mind, and all I knew was I was supposed to pray for you this morning. I sent that. Just to let him know, not to pat myself on the back, but just to be, for him to be encouraged by it. You need to have those people in your life that are doing that for you. If not, you need to start looking for your Jonathan. Look for that one that's going to be willing to do those things for you. The third friend that we all need to have is this. We all need a Nathan. I have a friend named Nathan. But a Nathan. A friend who tells you the truth. A friend that tells you the truth. Man, this is the one that's going to get us right here. This is going to be the one. You've been with me like, oh, yeah, I want people to make me better. Oh, yeah, I want to make me strong in the Lord. Amen. But don't tell me the truth. Because here's what's going to happen. Sometimes we're going to hear some things that just aren't what we wanted to hear. But we need a Nathan, somebody who will tell us the truth. Go a little bit further into David's story, and we find him as king of Israel. Been ruling and just running the show, man. Just things are great. Everything's good. Army goes off to battle. He stays home. First mistake. Don't be somewhere you're not supposed to be. See, the king was supposed to be with his army, but he decided to stay home. And David decided to take his eyes off of God and put him on Bathsheba. Yeah, she was across the way there taking a bath and caught his eye. And so then he takes his eyes off God, puts him on Bathsheba, commits adultery. Then, bad enough, right? Made a big mistake. But then he compounds it. He has her husband killed and takes her as his wife. And now, and don't forget that now she's pregnant with his child. So this is a big problem, right? Big issue in David's life. But David thinks things are good. I got a hottie wife. I got a new baby. Things are good, right? David needed to own up to what he had done. And so God made sure that he took care of that for him. He sent the prophet Nathan to him, and Nathan goes and he goes to tell David the truth. He says, David, listen, I need to tell you a story. See, there's this really wealthy guy, and he's got countless sheep and cattle, more than he could even, You know, as far as you can see, he's got sheep and cattle. Traveler comes into town and the traveler's hungry, looking for food. So the wealthy man goes to the poor man who only had one little sheep, had this one little lamb that they just went everywhere together. He goes to the poor man and he takes that lamb away and he slaughters it and feeds it to the traveler. David's like, what? Are you kidding me? What is up with that? That is not right. No way. What, man, this is not going to happen under my rule. No, not going to happen. And then Nathan looks at him and he says, Ataish. Ataish is Hebrew for you're that man. You're that man, David. It's you who took something that didn't belong to you when you had everything else. You took something that didn't belong to you, and this is what you've done. Instantly, David knew what had happened. He knew that he was wrong. When you get some time, maybe this week, go look up Psalm 51 and just read the prayer that David prays, acknowledging this issue in his life and his repentance and just coming around in it. But see, it took a Nathan to come to him and say, wait a minute, David, you're wrong. You got an issue. There's a problem. You need to be able to see it for what it is. And we need people in our lives who are going to say, listen, don't go there. You don't need to do that. I'm okay with somebody saying, you know what, that's stupid, Ron. Don't do it. You need those people. Say, it's not going to work out good for you. It's going to hurt your marriage. It's going to hurt your relationship with God. You need to do something. I see something in you that you aren't seeing in yourself. That's a hard place to be. And you got to be a really good friend to be able to go up to somebody and say, you're wrong. But see, that's what we're talking about, is you got to build those relationships. You need to be able to look at somebody and say, you're wrong. Because until we do, people are just going to keep on going, doing what they're doing, and totally going in a direction that God didn't want them to go. It's like the people on American Idol. They just need more Nathans in their life for some of them. Right? Like, listen, Mom and Dad, if your kid can't sing, don't tell them they can. Just be honest with them. Or pay somebody else to, or maybe, I don't know. But anyway, just kidding. But we got to be able to be honest. We got to help somebody know that they just aren't where they need to be. Now, I think of a friend of mine who called me out on something. I was wrong. They're a leader in this church, and I'm thankful for it. We were in a meeting, and I was going on about something. And he just looked at me and said, nope, you're wrong. You know what I did? I said, you're right. And I fixed it. I had to move on because I was wrong. Not so much in principle, and it didn't even matter about that. Just how it was being handled and how I was looking at it, I was wrong. You got to be willing to just admit it. And sometimes we need those people in our lives. We need those friends to just tell us. If we're going to be all God wants us to be, we need that in our lives. God's looking for us to develop that. And listen what happens when you're honest with somebody, or somebody's honest with you, and you're really not looking forward to it. Look at what Proverbs 27:5 says. It says, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. See, I'm talking about sincere friends. Because we all got those friends who try. You know, they just cover you with all kinds of pretty stuff. But they really aren't your friend. They aren't there for your well-being. And we got to be able to be honest about that and know. And so seek those people out. Because when they are there and they're honest with you, it's better than just even having somebody love you that you don't even know loves you. So we need to do that. We need to have those people in our lives. Do you have it? Do you have a Nathan in your life that can tell you the truth? And if they do, are you willing to hear it and understand it? He wants us to have those things where we pour into each other and we love each other and we give to each other and we exhort each other and we help each other out. That's what being friends is all about. God's given us the gift to be able to do that. Some of us are just a friend away from having our life change and our destiny be what God wants it to be for us. You're just that friend away. Open yourself up and begin to look for God to put that person in your life, someone that can help you. So you show me your friends, I can show you your future. Some of us got friends in our lives, you can look at it, and your future is addiction, because you're hanging out with a bunch of people that, and your closest friends, you're spending all your time with people that are addicted. You're going to find yourself there. It's a strong pull, right? For some of us, it's that we're married, but we're heading towards divorce because we're hanging around with a bunch of divorced people. I once heard, it was long after I moved into Albemarle, that there was a divorced wives club. It was kind of a joke thing, but then it really kind of began to develop in it. Because the more you hang around with people that are going a different direction, and the more of them there are, sometimes it's easy to feel that pull to be able to just move that direction. Some of us, the future could be jail. Because you're hanging out with some folks that are messing with some stuff that just you shouldn't be around. And maybe you're saying, Ron, that's really strong. But listen, I'm trying to be Nathan in your life to tell you, listen, you got to look for something different because the path that you're on is taking you a place that you were never meant to go. And at best case, for most of us, if we just kept the friends that we were spending our time with, it just brings us to more of the same. And that can be some stuff that we just, if you're tired of the way life's dealing, it may be time to find some new people to be around. But for a lot of us, it's just digging in and allowing those people to come into our lives. Do you have people around you that are helping you become better in the places that matter most? Are they helping you become more of who God wants you to be? Are they helping you by telling you honest truth? See, some of us today may be just one friend away from meeting the one who gave his life for you. See, today, you may be the one friend who could introduce somebody to Jesus. You might be the one who needs somebody to come into your life to introduce you to him. See, let me tell you a little bit about Jesus, my friend. See, the Bible says that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That he's the one who's always there. He never forsakes you, never leaves you. And if we're all honest, we've all been forsaken and we've all been left at some point. Jesus won't do that. So what God did, he sent his son Jesus to earth to live a sinless, perfect life. To die on a cross, to pay the price for your sin and my sin. To give his life to pay the ultimate price so that our sins could be forgiven. He died on that cross. He was taken down. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, God reached down with all of his love and power, and he raised him from the dead. So that you and I could know that our sins are forgiven and that our eternity is set when we accept him and we claim that as our own, that our eternity is set forever in heaven with him. And so today, let me be that friend for you. Let me introduce you to him. See, it's really easy. That's who he is. And the way that he becomes your friend is you just accept that, believe that. And the Bible says repent of your sins. That means just change your mind the way you've been thinking and start thinking a different way, like God thinks. Let God's plan be your plan. And you live that out with him as the engine for it, the strength and the power and all that makes that happen. And you rely on him. And that's how you live out this life that we call a Christian life. The best that we can doing what the scriptures teach us to do. And so today, maybe you need a Jonathan or a Samuel or a Nathan in your life. then maybe today you need to start praying for him or her. But maybe you need Jesus today. Maybe today's the day that you accept him. Let's pray together. God, we thank you today that we've come to this place to, God, to something we so often take for granted and we maybe put so much trust and faith in when it comes to our friends, God. But God, I don't believe you brought us here to just learn about friends, God. I believe you brought us here to learn about you and to spend time with you and with your people. And so today, I pray wherever someone may be, whether they need a Samuel, you know, someone that makes them better, whether they need a Jonathan, someone that brings them closer to you and encourages them in their walk with you, or maybe it's just a Nathan that tells them the honest truth and an effort to help them see something in them that they don't see in themselves, then God, I pray today that you'll just move in our hearts and that you'll bring us to the place that you want us to be, that we wouldn't be wanting to just hold back and resist that, but God, we'd be willing to just trust you and to take your hand and let you lead us where it is that you want us to be. God, today there's people in this room searching for a lot of things, looking in a lot of places. God, I believe that we can find our friends here in church. I believe that without a doubt that we can find all of those. God, I believe we can find those outside of this church. But God, today I pray that you'll bring friends into the lives of these my friends. Bring them to the place that you want them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.